All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It is the pod of thunder and rock and roll. And today, the number one contender for Randy Orton's WWE Championship on SmackDown is here, Jinder Mahal. Wow, it's going to be huge. We're going to talk about his big Backlash main event. You'll also hear how he came back to the WWE after being let go, why he was let go in the first place, and what he did in between. He's got great stories about working with great Kali in India and training in Calgary, starting in Stampede Wrestling. I bet you didn't know that. We'll get into the three-man band gimmick, which he did not like. Not too many people did. His favorite match with the Big Show that I saw live. His current henchmen, the Bollywood Boys, who've been around for a while. Lots coming up with Jinder Mahal. What a great week so far, though, I've had with Ozzy on the Judas Rising tour. Judas basically has gone viral, which is a great thing. The video, as it stands right now, is 2.3 million views in 2 weeks. Once again, number one in 8 charts, including Saudi Arabia. It debuted on the Billboard Rock charts for the first time, on the BBC Rock charts for the first time. Shows have been through the roof. I'm recording this in the back of the tour bus outside of the Diesel Club in Pittsburgh, which is almost sold out. Had some great gigs. The Milwaukee gig was huge, about 1,200 people there. Green Bay, we had about 500, which was awesome. Dubuque, Iowa, interesting place. We played in which was basically a high school gymnasium. It was a venue that had a basketball court in it. We played the high schools and gymnasium. So me, Fozzie, King, and Sons of Texas called it the Battle of the Bands. So hopefully we won. I'm not sure. And then Northern Invasion, great experience as well. Good times with Matt Larson from Monster Energy. Shout out to him. And good times with everybody that's come and seen us. So there's still some shows left. You gotta come rock with us. Don't miss this show. It's one of the most entertaining, fun shows you'll ever see. I guarantee it. And we've been opening the set with Judas. It's unbelievable how many are coming to the shows and already know the words. That's my favorite part. I let the fans actually sing I've become, and everyone likes that. So if you haven't heard it yet, what's wrong with you, man? Well, don't worry. Don't feel left out, because I'm going to play it for you right now. Here it is, the new Fozzie single, debuting on the Billboard charts, top 40 already. This is Judas.
You are innocence personified, and I will track you down and sell you out. Run away. I am cold like December snow. I have carved out this soul made of stone, and I will drag. By day.
my mind. There you go, the new single from Fozzy. What do you think? We filmed that video that's already done 2.3 million views in 2 weeks at the DDP Yoga Performance Center in Smyrna, Georgia. So DDP not only helped me out with my physical well-being, he also helped us out with the new video. And like I said, his DDP Yoga program has been helping out the whole band on the road. All of us are doing it before gigs, on the bus, outside, in the dressing room to keep loose and limber. And DDP Yoga can do the same for you. More than just a workout program, it's truly a healthier way to live. Now, DDP has made it so easy for everyone to get on the path to healthier living thanks to the DDP Yoga Now app. And with the app, you can do the workouts anytime, anywhere, right from your smartphone or tablet. App is also loaded with nutrition tips, cooking tips, and tools to track your progress. And right now, DDP is giving you 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all DDPY related merch. So when you go to DDPYoga.com/Jericho, you're going to get a bargain. Now, I've got the DDP Yoga Now app on my phone. I can do DDP Yoga on the bus, backstage at the venue, even in my hotel room. I've been doing it so much, sometimes I don't even use the app to do the program. I just do a lot of the stretches and a lot of the poses that DDP has taught me over the last 5-6 years. It is the best physical relief that I've had. I feel my back cracking on a daily basis thanks to DDP. I just open up the app and get to work whenever I want to. Rich Ward is doing it on his phone as well. He's already got a couple workouts in on this tour, so have I. And right now, I want you to take advantage of the deal that DDP is offering to all of you, the sexy beast listeners of Talk is Jericho. 20% off the DDP Yoga Now app and all related merch at ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's 20% off hats, t-shirts, yoga mats, heart monitors, all the swag, all the time. Just go to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. That's ddpyoga.com/Jericho. Change your life today. Get in the best physical and mental shape ever and do it with DDP Yoga. I'm telling you, it's the way to go, man. Do it today.
This is Talk is Jericho.
So one of the things I love about the business is how things can change in one night. And Jinder Mahal goes from losing in about 20 seconds on Raw to Finn Balor. No, who'd you lose to? Was it Finn?
Yeah, Finn was the last one.
Yeah, and then one week later, you're the number one contender for Randy Orton's SmackDown Championship, which is amazing. Like, congratulations, dude.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, man, it's crazy how things can change just like that. And I would always hear that Vince says, like, oh, our fans don't have a short memory
yeah.
span. So,
yeah.
I mean, let's see.
But it really only does take that one night, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember, like, even when I was first starting, it's like, all it takes is one big win. And it really is the truth, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, it is. It is. It's all about momentum. And, yeah, just that one big win.
How did you have any idea going into that match that you were going to win? Or
I had heard the day before.
Mm-hmm.
Just coincidentally, they're like, oh, you're in a six-pack challenge match. I was like, oh, who's in it? I said Corbin. They're like, no, Corbin's not in it. I was like, really? They're like, no, you're working Randy next. I was like, really? So then I talked to Randy later. He was like, yeah, yeah. But I was like, you know, things can change,
right?
Like they always do.
Yeah.
And I was like, we'll see when we get there.
I had that when the Undisputed Championship, we had that tournament. It was me, Rock, Austin, and Kurt. And I was like, I was just happy to be in it.
Yeah.
And then I found out the day of the show that I was going to be winning.
Yeah, yeah.
The day of the show. I was like, really? Like, no warning, no sign, like nothing? And that was, and that, like you said, man, one day, boom.
Yeah, and even like sometimes even like the day of the show, you're still, like, I've seen a change before.
Until it actually happens. Even in the ring, I was like, until I actually had that 1-2-3 and I get the damn title, it still could change.
Yeah, totally. I've heard stories like things changing even in Gorilla up to Gorilla changing, yeah.
But the thing is, to me, it's great that you're getting this shot, because when you came back here, and we'll go through the whole story, but you came loaded for bear, dude. You're ripped to shreds. You look amazing. Even like I was always saying, you look like a villain in a Indiana Jones movie. You have this great look. So
yeah.
I'm assuming that somebody saw that right off the bat and we could do something with this guy.
Yeah, actually, when I came back, I didn't come in as good shape as I am now. So just to backtrack a little bit, maybe about 2 months before I came back, like I was like had hit rock bottom. I mean, I was drinking all the time, and I was eating, not watching what I eat. And I was actually like 260 pounds, just fat. I'm sure there's pictures of me on the internet, just working the indies, not caring. And then like one day I just stopped drinking completely. I'm like, that's it. I'm going to start getting in shape. I stopped drinking, and I got the meal prep from Nutrition Solutions. So that's
shout out to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out to Nutrition Solutions. And I just started dieting and training hard, and literally I had lost 20 pounds. I was about 240 from the 260 that I had started. And literally 2 months of me doing this, that's when WWE called me.
Hmm.
it was the strangest thing ever. Like, for 2 years, no one called me, nothing. I was just doing my own thing, not really caring.
Right.
So it was weird. Like, as soon as I...
Almost like you had a premonition.
Yeah. Just out of nowhere. I was like, I think I just seen like a picture of myself. I was just like, come on, like, this is not me. Mm-hmm. I'm better than this. So actually, when I came back, I was 240, and that was me 2 months of dieting and all that. And, you know, I've been dieting ever since and still haven't drank. And, you know, I lock myself in my hotel room every night. And so, yeah, it's like a complete 360 or 180 or
whatever it is.
180 yeah. from whatever I was doing before. And yeah, it's strange how that happens. Like, just overall, my whole attitude has changed. Like, when I mostly drive alone, or I ride with Gallows and Anderson. But even while I'm home alone, I'm always listening to like either C.T. Fletcher or Eric Thomas, E.T. Just stuff to motivate.
Positive speaking
yeah.
type stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Or I listen to like Grant Cardone audiobooks. Just being positive. And it's weird how, like, it's kind of like The Secret. I haven't read The Secret, but I know what it's about. Just mm-hmm. just having positive energy around you, and just positive things start happening. I'm really, honestly, I'm a firm believer of this. This is like, who would have thought? I mean, when I was in 3MB, I wasn't really putting that much effort in, and, you know, it reflected of where I was. You know, I always hear these things. People say, like, where you are in life is exactly where you deserve to be. You know, it's not like mm-hmm. wherever you are, it's based on how much effort you put in, how much you care, who you surround yourself with, positive people, negative people, you know, the influences in your life. So it's weird. Just I honestly, it's the strangest thing ever. Just I started being positive, started thinking positive, and positive stuff started happening.
You know, you're right, dude. I've had that before. Throughout my whole life, when I first started wrestling, I had, you know, people are very negative, especially a smaller guy. And I learned early on, eliminate the negative influences. And I've had that attitude, positive, positive, positive. And you're right, it really, really does work. I'm telling you, if people listening, if you adopt a positive attitude, positive things happen. And you're the perfect example of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Even it was even funny too with the Bollywood boys who kind of came in as your henchmen.
Yeah, yeah.
They came up here and they were working 205 and they got sent to NXT and they were like, really sad and despondent, and I was like, dudes, it's better for you there,
yeah,
because
yeah.
you'll learn and figure it out. And then here we are 2 months later, they're in the main event angle of SmackDown.
Yeah, actually I told them the same thing, like, you know, it might be better, because if you're in NXT, you guys can just be a normal tag team. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe something will open up in the tag team division. So yeah, it's weird, man.
When did you find out you're going to be put with them?
The day of. Mm-hmm. Yeah, day of.
I think it's a pretty good
idea. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, definitely. You know, it adds more depth to the character, and they can. I'm a heel, so.
You always have your heaters. Yeah, you know, exactly. If you win, it's because of them. If you lose, it's because of them. Exactly, you have a way out every time.
Yeah.
It's a great mix, too.
Yeah, totally. And just going back to the whole positivity thing, like, what keeps me motivated is, like, I see, you know, like, positive things happening, and it just motivates me more and more. Like, even the shape I'm in, like, I dieted extra hard for WrestleMania, and then, you know, I just liked the way how I looked, and then I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to keep going. And then, you know, I could have gotten, I'm not out of shape, but mm-hmm. I literally didn't even have a cheat meal after WrestleMania. It just motivated me even more.
To get even better shape.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, I find that too, especially with dieting. Once you get over the hump, it really is. It's easy to fall off the wagon, but it's also really easy to stay on it once you get that motivation.
Yeah, actually another thing that I do is I'll even show you later on. As of the new year, I started like a day planner, and every day I write down my goals. And one of my goals is to have best body in WWE. You know what's funny? Actually, one of my goals is I write down every single day, become champion in WWE. And it's weird how, like, if you just put it out there.
If you put it out there, yeah, I agree. Ryback's really into that, too.
Yeah, yeah,
he's really into it,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah,
but that's amazing to me because, like you said, putting it out there and watching it happen, and also, too, stopping drinking and staying off the boat. Was it hard at first to stop?
No, I just stopped cold turkey just one day.
And never had any wantings or cravings?
No, honestly, I feel great. Like, I didn't realize this up until like maybe like a month or two after I stopped drinking. Like, it just made me feel terrible. Like, I was just used to
you got sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I feel amazing. I sleep every day, like, and I want to wake up early. I do my cardio first thing in the morning, and I train. And it's motivating. Like, I see the results, and, you know, I see myself moving up the card. And, you know, I become closer with Vince. Like, it was weird. Like, my first run, even when I was in 3MB, I would kind of, like, avoid Vince. Mm-hmm. Not avoid him, but, you know.
He's intimidating, yeah.
He's intimidating, but now I have, like, a good relationship with him. And
did he say anything to you about this upcoming push thing, or were you told anything?
Actually, he got to the arena really late, like 6:30, and that match took a long time to call, and we literally were calling it like maybe half an hour before match time. But he had rearranged, he had rewritten my promo. The original promo was something totally different. So when I finished calling the match, one of the writers is like, "Hey, Vince, change your promo." I was like, "Okay, bring it to me. Can you please bring it to me?" So they brought it to me, and I had read the American comment and all that, and I was like, oh, "I like the old promo better." Like it was like something like, "Oh, I tried being peaceful, but nobody was listening. But now I have all you guys' everyone's attention. I just beat five of SmackDown's very best, and I did it all alone." Something like that. It was just like a regular heel promo, but then the new one was like, "You Americans, this and that." I was like, "Oh, man, I don't think we should go," like, but I'm like, whatever, Vince wrote it, it's okay. But I did it, and the reaction that I got, I was like, oh man, Vince is a genius. He knows exactly what's going to draw the most heat.
It's amazing when that happens and you realize like he's Vince McMahon.
Yeah.
He's pretty smart to what's going on, because I've had that too.
Yeah.
I remember one time, this was way before Carlito ever came in, I was doing an interview with Terry Runnels, and he's like, "I want you to be eating an apple, and as you're eating as you're talking, I want you to be spitting chunks of apple in her face." And I was like, "That's terrible. He goes, just do it. Trust me." And I did it. It got huge heat.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced he was probably in a restaurant or something, and someone was eating and talking, and he saw a piece of food and went, "That's disgusting."
Yeah.
That would get heat. And I was so adamant against it, but then here, of course, it worked. I'm like, yeah, he kind of knows what he's doing, you know?
Yeah, man, it's weird. He's like an evil genius.
Yeah.
So now I wonder, like, is there anybody who's like watched more wrestling than Vince McMahon?
I think about that sometimes when he's at gorilla position. Like, how many matches? Like, what does it take for him to really go, "That's a good match"?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, is it to the point where even good matches are just like, well, of course it's good. Everybody should be good at this level. Is he ever impressed, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. But it's weird. He knows what's going to draw the most heat.
Right.
I didn't see it at first, but after, like, soon as I heard the reaction. Actually, when I came back too, I sat with Vince, and he was like, "Cause we went over time already." And he's like, "Forget about the time. Let him boo even more before you start talking." So I was like, okay.
Yeah. When he's behind something, that's the golden ticket.
Yeah.
And when Vince actually took the time to write the promo for you,
yeah.
That's when you know he's invested in your gimmick and your situation. That's a good thing.
Yeah, actually, while we were there, I had actually asked Vince, I'm like, "Hey, Vince, please, every single live event, promo, can I do a promo?" He said, yeah. He told Michael Hayes, wrote out right away, "Hey, Jinder promo." So I checked my email a couple of days ago, and I had a like script for house shows for promo, which I've never had.
Yeah, never.
And even then, like a day later, like extra notes came.
And that's coming right from Vince.
Yeah, exactly. It says, per.
Because PKM, it's no small thing to be working for the world championship. It means something.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and to put you in that position, it shows he sees something there.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And like, I actually feel prepared this time, like whereas it would have happened earlier in my career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Vince knows what he's doing. Yeah, right.
It's all timing, isn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
What did they tell you when they called you out of the blue to bring you back?
It was kind of weird, man. So, like I said, like 2 months of me dieting and training and everything, I actually got a call from the other wrestling promotion too.
Really? Oh, so TNA called you?
Yes.
Okay.
And there was a pay-per-view in Orlando on the Sunday. So I live in Tampa. They're like, "Yeah, can you come talk to us on the Sunday? We want, you know, talk to you. Talk to Big." Okay. Saturday, the day before, Carano called me. "Jinder, we want to sign you back." That's the weirdest thing. So I sat literally for 2 years, nobody cared about me.
Right.
Nobody, because I didn't care.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, when I started caring, other people started caring. And then, so I told Carano, "Hey, listen, I got this meeting tomorrow. You know, let me just see my options." So I went to talk to them. And obviously, I knew I wanted to come back to WWE, but I had already told them that I was going to come talk to them, so I was going to keep my word. So I went and talked to them, and then called Carano back. I said, "Yes," and send the contract over.
It's good to let them know that they're... I would almost venture that they might have heard something, that maybe you're having a meeting, you think?
It's possible.
Yeah.
I've considered that, yeah. But it was right around the time when the draft came. I think they wanted to sign like five or six people back. So
Kurt Hawkins.
It was just everything timing-wise worked out. And luckily, I had already started dieting and getting into shape, because I would have looked horrible if I was my original shape.
This is Talk is Jericho.
Let's talk about a little bit about what you did when you were off from here.
Yep.
I know that you were working with Great Khali in India.
Yeah.
And these were really big shows of like 30, 40,000 people in a stadium. How did you draw that type of a crowd? Is that Kali's influence?
First off, Kali is... I would say Kali is the most recognizable pro wrestler on earth, just based on how many... There's not 1.3 billion people in India. I don't think a single person doesn't know who Kali is.
Wow.
And you can't miss it. Like, if you... And I know, like, the whole country knows Kali, whether they watch wrestling or not, just because he has crossed over mainstream. And if you see him, you can't miss it.
I told him he's the most famous Indian in the world.
I would even say, like, most recognizable even on earth, like, out of
on the planet, because of the 1.3 billion people that know him.
There's not a single person who doesn't know him.
Wow.
Yeah. So not only that, and
quickly just interject, why is that? Like, is it because he's so big and because he's
just everything? Like, actually, what like instantly skyrocketed him? Undertaker for years is very famous in India. He was in it wasn't really him, but they did a knockoff Undertaker in a Bollywood movie like years ago. So just everybody knows who Undertaker is. Like, people who don't even watch wrestling, they'll say, you know, like, they'll scare their kids, hey, go to sleep or Undertaker will come, you know?
Oh, like, it's he's kind of like the boogeyman,
like he's like a myth, like a, he's a legend in a way. So, I don't know if they knew this or did this on purpose, but when Kali came and beat the Undertaker, it was instant skyrocket. And he's 7 foot tall, like he's...
He's going to stand up for the crowd no matter what.
Exactly. And then, you know, he won the world title and everything. Like, even if people don't watch wrestling, he's always in the news. Like,
whatever he does, people know.
Yeah. Huge crossover. I even think he's more popular than even movie stars. On like a whole nother level of popularity. So, I mean, like, the city we were in, the first show, actually, Kali trusted me to book all the talent and. Actually, I booked the storylines. So I know what works in India. Like, all the people that were there, we had 30,000 the first show, 60,000 the next. And these aren't big cities. This is like 2-3 million in the city. I mean, those are big cities, but it's not like Delhi.
Right.
Like, man, if we ran Delhi, if there's a stadium big enough, like, it could outdraw easily WrestleMania, the one they did in Dallas.
Right.
If there's a big enough stadium and the angle is done right. So we just did the angle. Like, I cut like an old school Puerto Rico angle where the guy, his name is Brody Steele. He's from Maritimes. We needed just a big, huge guy that will actually look like a threat to Kali. So I was just thinking who would be perfect, and he popped in my mind, oh, Brody Steele. So I got him booked, and there's not very many like big 6'6" guys that, you know, might have the right mindset to come put Kali over, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But he was perfect, like to a T. So we did the gimmick where him and his two cronies, actually Mike Knox and this guy Apollo, is a Puerto Rican guy, a big, huge guy, really good wrestler. Apollo, he was in TNA beginning. So, you know, they jumped Kali. They
like gave in his hotel chair room or something.
No. That was this.
Okay.
This was recently. So okay. This was in the ring. In a one-on-one match, they came and then they, you know, gave Kali the chair shot. Kali was bleeding everywhere, and Kali legitimately took an ambulance to the hospital. Stayed in the hospital overnight just for kayfabe reason. And it like overnight, it was like viral, like all top news channels. Kali got hospitalized. So then the return was set up, I think, 2 or 3 nights later. So Kali did the press conference. You know, it's going to be blood for blood. Then there was 60,000.
Wow.
Like, arena packed. You couldn't fit any more people in there. It was bad. You know what? There was like 60,000 in. I would say at least another 20,000 outside of the arena.
Really?
Just standing. Yeah, just to hear.
Just hanging around.
Just hanging out. Yeah, it took like hours to get in and out of there. So, like a lot of those 60,000 people, they don't watch WWE. They're just there to see a fight. Like it's kayfabe still there.
Mm-hmm.
Just the angle was like a kind of kayfabe angle, and it was just done. It's like anything Kali does is gonna make news anyway. So, kind of use the
but
press.
Kind of booking it though.
Yeah, exactly. Even the last show that he did, I booked. I was still in WWE, and I still booked all the guys and. Actually, for the return, the match that I booked was I told Kali, hey, the two, Mike Knox and Apollo, handcuffed to the ring, Kali versus Brody Steele. So there was a ref bump. He took the key out of the ref's pocket. They unlocked it. The three guys came, but then Kali blew the comeback on all three of the guys. I think ducked a chair or something. Then he gave those guys a chair. I've never heard a reaction like this. It was insane.
Wow.
Yeah. And it wasn't just, it was wrestling for them. People legitimately thought they were seeing a fight. And
Was Kali taking care of you like financially?
Yeah, of course.
So is that some of these, is he going to do this regularly or is it just like a one shot thing?
It's very hard to organize shows in India.
Gotcha.
You have to get permission, which is not hard for him to get, but it's hard to control people there too. Like, the ticket takers, you know, it's not
a lot
like
of corruption, where, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, people are going to let their friends in, and just organizing the show was a lot of work. Mm-hmm. Those two shows were actually done by the government, like the premier or what's it called in the States, where the
senator?
No, of the state.
Governor.
Governor, yeah. It was done through like the governor of that state. He had built two brand new stadiums, and the first event that he wanted to hold was wrestling.
It's called, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But for, as far as Indian goes, you have a big name as well at this point. You're growing all that sort of
stuff. Yeah, no, like, just because I'm Indian doesn't mean they're going to like me. It's like, say if there's an American playing in UK soccer team, but he's a bench warmer.
Yeah,
nobody
sure,
cares. But
sure.
If he's like a top player, everybody
would go for it.
Everybody, yeah.
Because that would have been kind of good, you and Kali against each other. That could have worked. You turn on him.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean,
maybe, it could, you're big enough you could make it work.
Yeah. We could have, yeah.
And speaking of great Indian wrestlers, I always think about Great Gama from Calgary. And I found this out, not maybe the first run, but right towards the end, that you were from Calgary.
Yeah.
And you came up basically through the same group of guys, veterans that I did.
Yeah, Bad News, Jerry Morrow,
Gama. Are you related to Gama at all?
Yeah. He's my uncle.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah.
Legit?
Yeah, legit. Yeah.
Oh, no shit, man. Yeah. So when did you know that you wanted to get into the business?
Man, I've just been a fan my whole life. Like, I wanted to get into the business.
Like, when you're in Calgary and you're a wrestling fan, that makes it even more pronounced because Calgary's a huge wrestling city.
Yeah. So, actually, I'm born in 86, so I was too young during the whole Stampede and all that. So, I'm a WWF fan.
Right.
And WCW and ECW growing up. Like, I just watched wrestling always, and I always wanted to wrestle. So, I started wrestling actually when I was, like, 15.
Hmm.
Just started training and doing the odd show. Bad News ran a couple shows with Rick Titan, Rick Bogner.
Yeah. Who did you train with those guys?
Yeah. So
Titan trained you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, for Titan. Jerry would teach. Bad News would teach. And Titan at first, but mostly it was Jerry.
Jerry Morrow.
Yeah.
What an underrated performer.
Bad News too. Yeah.
The Bad News had the worldwide fame, worked for a long time in WWE. Jerry Morrow, one of the most underrated, undiscovered talents maybe in the history of the business.
Yeah. But those that know. Like,
yes.
Those that know Jerry, you say, hey, Jerry's the best. But a lot of people don't know Jerry.
Yeah.
He should have been.
It's funny, Lance and Don on their podcast are doing a Jerry Morrow tribute where they're having guys call in, and even though he's still with us, they wanted people to know just how good he is.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of guys that were calling in, and you know, I called in, left a comment because he had a very thick accent, Jerry.
Yeah, they need Jerry Morrow on the show, but he's hilarious.
Yeah, so funny, but it's hard to understand him talk. Hey, bro. How you doing, bro?
Hey, you lady. Hey, get up.
So did you have a lot of matches with him in your early years?
I started wrestling regularly. Nah, in my early years, like from 15, 16, not that much. Like, I would just train and try to get – there wasn't that many shows, maybe like one every like 2-3 months kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just whenever we could. I remember even going to Winnipeg, and we worked for Don Callis and Tony Condello, even Thunder Bay. Mm-hmm. But – in 2004, me and my cousin Gama's son, his name's Raj or Gama Jr., we started wrestling for Bruce, Stampede Wrestling. And they would run every Friday at the Ogden Legion.
Yeah.
20 people.
Yeah, right.
But like TJ Tyson Kidd was there, Harry was there, Natalia was there.
Victor, good crew.
Yeah, Victor.
Victor, who's in the Ascension now.
Ascension, yeah.
There's a lot of Calgary guys.
Yeah, there was, It's Ted Hart.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a lot of good wrestlers. I think there's a guy named Pete Wilson who was really good, but he didn't get to the next level. So we would wrestle every Friday, and then Ross would run like his Saturday spot shows once in a while, and mostly in the summer. So we would keep busy with that, and I would continue training. I was going to University of Calgary at the same time, so I was doing college and wrestling on the weekends. And then I got signed when I was 23.
Here?
Yeah, WWE. So I went to FCW.
Did you do some tryouts or something like that?
Yeah.
When I came to Calgary?
So I was an extra like about a year before, when I was like maybe 22 or maybe even 21. But like knowing how WWE works now, I didn't know at the time, but they were kind of interested. I know they were interested in me because I did a match. They're like, hey, you stay in, get another guy in there. Did another match. And
You're talking about when they're having the tryouts during the day in the empty arena.
Exactly. I'm so nervous. So right after, and I'm working like super stiff. And actually the first match might have been even with my cousin Raj. We're both like just like
and blown,
we're blown sky high. Like you stay, hey, another person come in. Did another match. They're like, hey, you stay in. And Eugene Dinsmore was just coming back at that time. And they're like, oh, yeah, hey, do some stuff with Eugene. Luckily, I was so blown, and Eugene luckily called an easy man. He called everything. And then they're like, hey, you stay in there. It was Tyler Breeze. They're like, hey, we want to see him selling. So can you really turn it up on him and be aggressive? We want to see the way he sells. Knowing how this place works now, I think they might have been looking if I can turn it up.
Yeah. But not wanting to tell you that.
I was so blown up. Like, I was dying.
Who was telling you that?
Noble was there.
Jamie.
Johnny was there. Okay. Ringside. There was a whole bunch of people ringside, yeah. But like I was like, oh, they're not looking. You know, so if they would have said, hey, we're watching you, maybe I would have been different.
You were thrown up to realize the reverse psychology.
Yeah, I was so blown up. I was dying. Like, even after the first match, I was dead. But I was like, oh, gotta keep going. So I think I kind of messed that one up just by maybe being blown up and not relaxing.
Sure, sure. So, before you go, before you get out of this, tell me a little bit about Bad News and your relationship with him.
Yeah, man. Bad News was literally like my dad.
Really?
Yeah, man. I was very close. Me and Raj, especially, he really, really liked us. Like, even at his funeral, me and Raj were pallbearers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, we were very close with Bad News.
In what way? Like, training-wise? Just normal
Even in life, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, even in life, like, he was just such an... He had so much life experience from growing up in New York and the age that he grew up, like, with all the racism and all that, and then the Olympics and training in Japan. Actually, he would train us kind of like the stuff that they did in Japan, like a lot of squats, a lot of push-ups, just blow us up a lot. Like, Bad News training was very tough.
Mm. Like you said, Japanese style.
Yeah, Japanese style. Yeah, Japanese style. And he was just a huge influence on me, just personally, too. You know, and when he passed away, I remember my cousin Raj called me, like, woke me up in the morning. He's like, hey, Bad News passed away. I was like, oh, man.
Mm. Was it like a sudden thing?
Yeah, it was a sudden thing. Yeah, yeah.
Heart attack?
Yeah, heart attack. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. What was he doing at that point? Was he like a security guard?
Yeah, he was a security guard at the mall just outside of Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a security guard.
Did he ever tell you any good stories from when he was here in WWE?
Yeah, he did, but man, I don't, like, there's so many, like, I can't pinpoint one.
He was always mad at Vince because the one that he told me was that Vince promised him the world title. Tell me about that one.
That's pretty much
the thing. Yeah, I think it was really against Promise World Piper title. Or something. Or
yeah, and he had actually said that he was offended with the black and white thing. But, you know, when you're in the business, it's what are you going to say? You know,
right.
Okay, a lot of times we're put in situations, too, where, you know, we're not comfortable with it. But
just got to do it. Yeah.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
Last time I saw Bad News, he came to Calgary at a WWE show, and he asked for 50 comps.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, I can't get you 50 comps, News. Yeah. I could probably get you 10.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe someone else can get you 10 and you go through it that way, you know?
Yeah,
well, come on, man. I worked here for so many years. Vince took so much money from me.
I'm like, that's probably what it was. It was the principle he thought.
Always hated the promoter side of things, right?
Yeah.
So you go back, you blew your first audition, then when did you finally
get in? Yeah, then I went to, what's it called, Tampa FCW for a tryout, and...
Did you fly yourself down there?
Yeah, at that time, because in Calgary, TV doesn't, like, it comes, like, every 2 years. So I was like, man, either we can wait around 2 years. But they used to do this thing where you send in, like, a picture or whatnot. They pick, like, 30 people, but you pay. You fly yourself down and you try out. But, I they had done one before, and someone else that I knew or had heard, like, got signed. It fell through, but a guy named Randy Myers, he's from Calgary, he had actually got signed, but something fell through, it didn't happen. I was like, oh man, maybe at that time I told my cousin, I was like, hey man, we should go to the next one, you know, why not?
Yeah.
Or we can sit around and wait until WWE comes into town, maybe a year or two. So we're like, you know what, let's go, whatever. So we went to the tryout, and right at the tryout, Steve Kern was like, "Oh, we signed one person today at this tryout," and he called my name. I was picked out of the bunch to get signed right on the
spot. Wow. How many guys was that? Was
30.
There?
30.
So you impressed them so much.
Yeah.
I wonder if they passed along that they had taken a look at you in Calgary. You
know? I don't think so. No. But Steve Kern had, I knew day one he was interested in me because I did my match. I went to talk to him. And he had told me, like, "Hey, Vince McMahon has been telling me for a long time that he's looking for Indian wrestlers." He had mentioned that to me. And then, also the next day, who was it? I think Mike Rotundo came, or maybe mm-hmm. Dusty or someone. And he, like, specifically, he's like, "Hey, Raj, match." And, I could kind of tell he was – he liked
me. You've been around, you can see it.
I was tall. You know, I'm 6'5". Mm-hmm. I was young, like 22, 23. And he said, "Yeah, he was signing you."
Was it hard when you got signed and your cousin didn't?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. It was actually.
Yeah.
But I just said, "Hey, keep trying. You know that maybe you get signed later."
That's something you learn right off the bat. I remember I used to start as a tag team with Lance.
Yeah.
And Mike Lozansky had a trip to Kansas City booked, which the whole thing was a disaster. It was the shits. But and I was like, "Well, can I bring my partner, Lance?" He's like, "Hold on a second, dude. Let me tell you something." He goes, "How many matches have you had?" I'm like, "20. He's like, "You're not going to have a tag team partner for the rest of your career. You can't call the shots. You take the bookings that you can get. You want it or not?" I'm like, "Yeah." And then I had to tell Lance, "I got this booking and you didn't get it." And he's like, "Yeah, dude, go for it." I mean, you can't feel bad.
You know what's funny? Like when we went there the first day, you sign in or whatever, Dr. Tom was there. And I think he had asked me, like, "Oh, okay, so this, anything else?" I was like, "Oh, yeah, we're tag team." And he literally just went like this with it. He just, like, said, basically said, "Forget about it."
Forget it?
Yeah. He just gave me that.
I think everybody thinks that, too, especially when your cousin's like, "We'll be a tag team, and we're going to get signed, and we'll go to the top." Very rare, like the Hardy Boys. Like, that's so rare to have the brothers that actually stay as the team, you know?
Yeah. No, it is. So, I mean, it sucks when he doesn't get signed, but... I mean, what can I do?
Right, you got signed, right?
Yeah.
So were you in the FCW system for a long time?
No, only 1 year.
Okay.
So it took me about 4 or 5 months to get my work visa, came FCW. I was there for literally like 1 year and 1 week. I was going to train at John Cena's gym with Rob McIntyre, the trainer at the mm-hmm. time. And then I got a call from office, Kristen Altman, talent relations. She was like, "Hey, we're updating your profile. She asked me a couple questions, told her, and I went to FCW that day, and they were like updating the photos, but there was a guy there named Matt Kenobi. Matt Marlero. Matt Marlero was like, "Hey, we need to shoot two promos and a match for Vince right now." So because of the pictures, I had already had my gear with me. So they're like, "Yeah, pick a guy who you want to wrestle." So I had a match with Camacho.
Tonga's kid, right?
Tonga's kid. Tavita. Mm-hmm. And did the two promos. I think that might have been on a Wednesday. Then, like, Friday, I'd gotten a call, "Hey, you're going to TV this week." I don't know what for. They just said, "Bring all your gear, bring suits and whatnot." So I go to Raw, and it was the draft Raw that year, 2011.
Okay. Yeah. It's that long ago. Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Were you always Jinder Mahal?
Yeah, it was FCW. Yeah. Yeah, it was Jinder Mahal from FCW. I thought maybe they'll change my name. Like, you would hear, like, "Oh, just whatever. It's just a name. It'll change or whatnot."
Were you Jinder Mahal in Canada as well?
No.
What was your name?
Raj Singh. Yeah.
So how did you get the name Jinder Mahal? Did you think of it or someone gave it to you?
I think Mart Lero.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Cool.
Or I said, like, you need first name Jinder, and maybe like Mahal is like a last name that is easy for white people to associate. I'm not white people, but
yeah, I guess,
Americans.
Yeah. Or Canadians.
Yeah.
Non-Indian.
Exactly. Yeah. Associate, and it's easy to pronounce and whatnot. So, so I went to TV. It was the Monday in Charlotte, and they did the draft, and I seen Triple H real quick. He's like, "Oh, hey, Jinder." This is the first time I met Triple H. I talked to him on the phone one time before. Right before I went, he was just like, "Oh, you're coming to TV, this and that." Okay. So he's like, "Oh, Jinder, hey, tomorrow morning, come early and film promos with Brawler on the green screen." So I went the next morning and I cut promos. I cut two promos and recorded them. And actually, while I was still in that room, I guess they came out of the meeting. And I know Marty, the cameraman from FCW, because he would come every 3 weeks and film FCW. So, "Hey, Marty, how's it going? Hey, big debut today." was like, what? He has a script. It was great Kali promo with Rey Mysterio, Ranjan Singh, and Jinder Mahal. What? So that was in Greensboro, and we did the promo where I pretty much came and I spoke Punjabi. I just said, hey, Jinder Mahal's here now, and I'm here to stay. And then I think the next week...
I love it too. It's, yeah. It's like, you know, you come in, but you have to be with Ranjan and Kali. Yeah. Just like Bollywood boys have to be with you. It's like you guys all have to hang out together, yeah. Right? That's wrestling for you.
But that's wrestling.
Yeah, they all match.
I like that. Like, it's old school.
Well, but it's good too, though. It's a good mix. You know? Yeah, exactly. Because that's how you started, was kind of as Kali's partner.
At first, on all the live events, I would wrestle and Kali would just manage, like, just chop the guy on the fin, like, when the ref's distracted.
I like calling it dropping a tree branch on your head. That thing hurts like hell. It's terrible.
I've probably wrestled Kali maybe, like, literally 100 times.
Really?
Like, I was married to everywhere. Because I think, like, that I could have a good match with him. A, we're friends, and B, we can communicate.
Speak the language.
Speaking the language. I'm calling spots and been like saying this.
Yeah.
Nobody else understands what I'm saying.
Right.
And I kind of had like a match down with him. Like, it was like.
I think I remember you guys did that on the house shows quite a bit, didn't you?
Exactly. Yeah. Every single house show, every single tour. Like,
I remember that. Those were good matches.
Yeah. We just had one kind of go to match.
Yeah.
I feel bad for the. Like, you see Sign Guy, like, at different shows.
Like, I always equate it to this. If you go to, you know, a Kiss concert
and
you're going to follow them around on the tour, they're playing the same set every night.
So just
calm down, guys. If the match is the same.
Yeah, I mean, it worked. Yeah. And so they just kept me with Kali, working him. And it was funny. Sometimes he'd hit me with a chop every night. Sometimes he would barely touch me. He'd slap his elbow. And sometimes it would just drill me. It's
like a cleaver in your head.
And an axe. And if it's a big house, chop, I would feed into the
Oh, the big tree slam.
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah. Glutton for punishment.
If it's a big house.
Only if it's a big house. And so that's how you started. You guys were together and you turned on him, obviously.
So me and Kali were healed, but he was still getting babyface reaction. So I think Vince maybe wanted to keep a babyface, and they split us up. I think actually at that time why they kind of bring me in right away, Kali's contract was up and he wasn't going to reshare if he was going to resign or not, and the Indian market is so big they needed a wrestler. So I think that's why, like, all of a sudden
get the rub right away.
Yeah, Kali ended up resigning, and then they kept him babyface, kept us separate. And then I started wrestling him for the next maybe year and a half.
Forever.
And then I joined 3MB.
It went straight from that to 3MB?
No. I did my – I was alone for, like, wrestling on Superstars. And
made, but nothing really
– No, like the odd time, I worked like maybe Zeke, or I'd work
– So it was just kind of just in the prelims,
like sporadic.
Right?
I would get on SmackDown every once in a while. But mostly I was on like Superstars or...
Did you travel with Kali as well?
Yeah.
How was it traveling with him?
I love traveling with Kali. Of course, because I had actually moved to Houston too. We used to live next door. It was my house, one house, and then Kali's. So Kali's literally like, he's like my big brother. I love Kali. I talk to him all the time, even still. So, his wife would drop us off at the airport, we'd fly, I'd get the rental car, come pick him back up.
What kind of a car are you getting?
Always SUV.
Okay.
Yeah, always SUV.
To fold himself in there.
I kind of felt bad for a man. Like, it's tight. Like, even me, I'm 6'5", and it's hard for me to sit in car. Like, for especially after we wrestle, we go straight to a car because we got to make the next city. You know, it's not like we have time to stretch or cool.
Sure.
Like you would in normal sports or something. Maybe at least a cool down.
Mm-hmm.
It's wrestle, drive, fly.
It's pretty funny when you're hanging out with somebody where you're the little guy.
Yeah.
Right. Did you ever, like, if you're traveling down the road in, like, Bismarck, North Dakota, did people ever flip out when they see a guy that big?
Yeah. So, A, you get wrestling fans. B, he's been in a couple movies, like Get Smart, and The Longest Yard. Like, everybody's seen The Longest Yard.
Right.
So, if it's not from wrestling, is The Longest Yard, and if not that, like, holy, this guy, we got to get a picture with him, this guy's so big.
Like, they don't even know who he is, they just know we got to get a shot of this guy.
Mostly a lot of the people were movies, like everywhere. But it's funny, even with Kali, man, you like never pay for a gym. Free shakes. It's great riding with Kali.
Such a worker, right?
Yeah. No, I rode with Kali for a while. And no, it was good. We just listened to Indian music. And
oh, yeah?
Talk. Yeah.
It's like, is there actual like bands from India, or is it like just singers, traditional stuff?
Yeah. Their bands aren't really that big. It's mostly singers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, traditional stuff, new stuff. The Indian music is... There's
like, so, so like, you're pretty connected with the Indian cultures. Like, in Calgary, there's a lot of Indian, East Indian, in Canada
like
Vancouver, across.
Toronto. Yeah. When I wrestle in Vancouver, I'm like straight up babyface. Like half the audience.
Right.
Yeah.
Tons, yeah.
Yeah, the huge Indian. And actually, like where I live in Calgary, this is where all the Indian people live, like all the Indian stores. Like someone could move from India to that part of Calgary, or like in Vancouver, it's Surrey. Toronto is Brampton. You can move there and like not even learn English and still get through life.
Right.
Yeah. So that's...
That used to blow my mind when I lived in Vancouver. Is there, you walk into a store where there'd be Indian and also Chinese.
Yeah, Chinese.
Or Japanese or whatever wouldn't even know any English.
Yeah.
That's like, if I opened a store like in Delhi, I would try and learn some Indian language so I could actually communicate, you know?
But if you're in an area where only like American or Canadian or English speaking people live, then you wouldn't learn English.
So when you come down to, you live in Tampa now, can you find like authentic Indian food? Or is it kind of shitty?
No, there is a place. As people find this weird, but it's connected to a gas station. But like the Indian food that you eat at restaurants is not like Indian food that you eat every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you go to a Chinese restaurant. Chinese people not eating this every
day. Right,
you
know what I mean?
It's kind of
gimmicky. So if you're eating like Indian food, like when you go home with your parents, like what's the main dish that
like mostly it's roti, like it's like a flat bread. Mm-hmm. Not like people always say naan, but naan you really only eat on like weddings or something. You don't eat naan every day. It's just the flat bread. And so I'm Sikh, and Sikhs traditionally are vegetarian.
Oh, okay.
The ones that
practice follow
fully. As my mom is practiced fully, she's vegetarian, so a lot of the dishes are like lentils or like vegetables like potatoes and cauliflower and carrots and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also make like chicken curries and all that.
Gotcha.
But tradition mostly it's always just like roti and like lentils and yogurt. Indian people drink a lot of milk. Man, growing up, I used to drink like a gallon of milk a day. Now I never drink milk.
Yeah, I hate me too. I was the same. I used to drink a lot. We went to India in 2002, and it's the famous thing, but the cows are sacred.
Yeah, they are.
To the point, like, I remember I was sitting next to Glenn Kane, and we were in the back of the bus, and it was like 3 a.m, and we had to stop because there was a cow in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
And it's like, you can't drive past the cow. I was like, let's go out and shoot. It's like, no. If the cow wants to sit in the road, you wait until it moves.
Yeah. Hindu religion, cow is very sacred.
And why is that?
I'm not exactly sure.
Do they think it's like God on earth or something?
Yeah. Maybe even a reincarnation.
Reincarnation.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. I think I could be wrong because I'm Sikh.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But even just culturally all over India, no, like, because religion kind of flows into culture then, especially... A lot of people in India are religious.
So what is what's Sikh? Is that a part of the country? Is that a religion?
No, Sikh is a religion.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And so the ones that are worshiping, not worshiping, but that respect the cow is a...
That's Hindu.
Hindu, gotcha.
Yeah. Mostly Sikhs live in Punjab, state Punjab, and speak Punjabi.
Mm.
Mostly. I mean, there's all over, but for the most part.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I didn't know. And what's the biggest difference between Hindu and Sikh?
I mean, they're two completely different religions.
Okay.
Yeah, like Sikh religion believes in one God.
What's the name of the God in the Sikh religion?
Just God.
Okay.
Yeah, just God. There's one God.
Right.
Yeah. It's actually a very cool religion if you read up on it. Like, in America, if you see someone with a turban on, 99% he's Sikh.
Okay.
Yeah, like a lot of people, Americans don't know. They think he's Muslim or because the media image portrays.
Sure, yeah.
And actually, like, right after 9/11, like, a couple Sikhs got murdered.
Like, really?
Yeah. Or even like recently I've seen in the news, like all the time, every once in a while, like in New York, like people will beat up like a Sikh guy with
a
turban.
They're confusing with a terrorist or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just from the image. Yeah. So I actually at right now, I know there's like a couple groups that have formed of Sikhs that are trying to inform people like, you know, we're a separate religion.
Yeah, we're not Muslim, we're not terrorists, whatever. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Or exactly. Sikh, okay.
Sikh, yeah. Just teaching people, like, understanding, you know.
I gotcha.
Awareness.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I didn't know anything about
yeah, that. Yeah, no, it's a very cool religion. You know, I highly suggest the listeners, you know, maybe a quick Google search.
Yeah, the Google, for sure.
Talk is Jericho.
Steering back to, there's no segue I can even say. So tell us about Three Man Band. Like, but you mentioned you're doing the thing where you're working with Kali, then you're kind of in the underground, and then suddenly you get put together as Three Man Band.
Actually, right before 3MB, I was in NXT. I would go film the NXTs, and I was in the first NXT tournament
For title.
So me and Seth was the final match.
You and Seth were?
Yeah. So Seth won the match against me, won the title. I was on WWE TV and all the house shows and all that. At that time, NXT was nowhere near what it is now.
It was
so, like, kind of. I was even thinking, like, oh man, this is a hassle. Like, I'm a day off. I gotta go film this.
Whatever. It's like some little Florida town, Destined, Florida for the house show.
That's Full Sail.
Okay,
Full Sail. Okay, yeah.
You only do the big shows, brother.
Exactly. Yeah. After the tournament, like, literally 1 or 2 weeks later, because I think the next TV taping, I had the rematch with Seth, and I was already in 3MB. So I came to TV. I can't remember where we were. Right when I got to the building, I see Heath Slater. He's like, man, I just had a meeting with Vince. I'm going to get my own band. Well, who's going to be in it? He's like, oh, I don't know, man. Maybe Johnny Curtis was in Fandango at the time.
Right.
He was coming to TV. Surprisingly enough, Dean Ambrose was coming to TV. Maybe Ambrose. Well, not knowing that, you know.
he's going to the Shield.
Yeah.
There was two groups formed that day, the Shield and 3MB.
They had other plans. And I jokingly said, like, oh, watch, I'll be in the band. Like, complete joking.
Yeah.
So, Drew McIntyre's my best friend. Like, he's like my brother. So I was hanging around Drew ringside, and one of the writers called Drew over. Kevin Eck. Kevin Eck calls Drew over, and I just stumble into the hall. I'm like, oh, I'm going to go eat. I'll go to catering. So I come in the hallway, and I see Scott Armstrong. Oh, Scotty Card's out. Oh, hey, what do I got? He's like, oh, I think it was like Heath Slater versus Brodus Clay with Drew McIntyre, Jinder Mahal running. Oh, man, I'm in the band. So at first, I was like, oh, man. I was like, how is this going to work? Just because my character was, like, completely different. But knowing how Vince thinks, like, that's what he wanted. Even Drew was, like, very serious.
Right.
He's not going to pick the obvious choice. He's going to pick something way out of left field. Sure enough, he did. And then, like, we're like, you know what, man? This is an opportunity. Let's take it and run with it. You know? That's all we can do.
Right, yeah.
So,
Was the original plan for you guys to actually be a band? Because we never actually got there.
No, the plan was like a Milli Vanilli type.
Okay, right.
I think Vince even said, like, oh, yeah, we're going to do that where you guys get caught lip syncing or whatever.
But did,
like,
you even do that?
No, we didn't do that. No. We like, that week, I had an overseas tour to, I think, Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And right when I landed, they were like, hey, a car server's going to pick you up from Newark or LaGuardia, wherever we landed. You're going to Stamford to film Vignette. Heath Slater and Drew flew from, I guess, home, and we all met in Stamford, and we did, like, a behind the music. The original one was a lot longer than the one that aired. I think it was like 6 minutes long, and it was just too long for
Law. Yeah.
But I think you can find it on YouTube. So they did, like, a behind the music thing where we're talking like we're an actual band. And we did the one thing in Nashville where we went on stage, which we were hammered, by the way.
Where were you?
Yeah.
Nashville, at a club or something?
Yeah, at a nightclub. Yeah, like I was actually, you know what, I was on a house show on the Sunday. It's like somewhere in Tennessee. And so on Saturday, they're like, I got the memo, maybe Carano. Hey, Jinder, you don't go to the house show tomorrow. You got to go to Nashville to film something. So they took me off the house show. So I went to Nashville, and it's like at a club. And they have it worked out where, like, the band is on stage, and we kicked the band off stage. We're like, we're going to perform. And then the bouncers a cop comes with, shows us the handcuffs, and it cuts out.
So you guys were loaded?
Yeah, they gave us unlimited drinks. Unlimited tab. Oh, man, we were hammered. I was like, man, I hope I don't fall getting on this stage.
I thought it would have been great, because I talked to maybe even you as well, but talked to Slater about it. It's like, it'd be great if they actually had you guys play, even if you have no musical experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, give you, like, one afternoon of lessons. You're on guitar, he's on bass, and Slater's on drums or whatever.
Yeah.
And just go and play for, like, 2 minutes on Raw. It doesn't matter how bad it is.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I think Drew actually tried to even learn guitar.
He really tried to commit to it.
Yeah, But also at the same time, like a week or two later, Shield came and the attention kind of shifted. I remember even at one time, like we went to Raw and we weren't booked. They were like, Vince only wants like 1 3-man group. And they're like, oh, you guys will be on SmackDown. And we weren't on SmackDown. We were on Superstars.
Oh, yeah. Kind of
so,
went down.
And then the plan, I don't think the plan was initially, because actually Vince was really into it. It was his creation at first. And he even talked to us even like about like costume. He's like, oh yeah, leather pants. Because we went and talked to Julie and Terry, the seamstress, early in the day. I was still going to just stick to trunks, but just make it kind of rock and rollish. And then the memo got that, no, leather pants. Oh man, I got to wrestle in leather pants. And basically what happened was just 3MB kind of, you know, became like a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Just there to put the other guys over, which is okay. But I just kind of lost motivation. With looking back now, which I never should have done, it should have motivated me more. But if you look in the shape that I was when I debuted, like I was kind of how I am now. I was ripped, veins everywhere. I was in really good shape. And that time, right before I got called up, like speaking of being positive, right before I got called up, as of New Year, I was like, okay, no drinking. I'm going to start dieting. I used to at that time do keto diet, no carbs, 6 days. So 6 days I would diet, no carb, and then carb up on the 7th day. And I was training at Rob's, and I got jacked from January to April, and April is when I got called up. So again, yeah, that's funny how that works.
Right, sure.
Yeah, and then 3MB happened, and I lost motivation, which I never should have done, which is one of my biggest regrets.
Do you remember like the one time we had any interaction in the ring? I'm not sure if you were in the match, but it was me.
I think you and Drew.
Me and Drew. Yeah. And if I win, 3MB has to break up forever. And it was like a random 4-minute match on Raw. Which was just like, and by the way.
Yeah. And I didn't think it was 4 minutes. I got cut down.
It was like 2 minutes. Yeah. I remember going to Vince. I'm like, you're going to just break this up with no announcement? Just like in a random, you know, segment 7?
Yeah.
And he's like, well, like, I don't know. And then he decided not to do that. But I was like.
Yeah, in the day. It would have
like a minute. Me beat Drew. And then you guys are done forever. That's
which
kind
of. Probably wouldn't have done that.
But that's kind of where it was at that point. It's just like, whatever. Just. Do what I, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard to stay motivated though when that's the type of a push or lack of that you're getting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. But looking back, man, what a huge mistake that was. Like, and then I obviously got released, which, like, looking back now, like, I would have fired me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care. I was miserable. It was completely different. At that time, I feel like just everybody around me was just, like, miserable. The locker room, maybe I just avoid it now. I just listen to positive.
It has changed, though. It's a lot more fun.
Yeah. You know, it was just negative and, like, drinking every night.
Yeah.
And then I'd be hungover during the day, like, just praying. Like, oh, I hope I don't have a match today. Now I come to TV. I'm ready for a match. In the morning when I wake up, I'm training, like, for a match.
Mm-hmm, you're
I'm
set.
Already thinking of stuff that I want to do. Whereas before, like, for that little while that I was in 3MB, man, I had just lost all motivation.
Did you have any idea that you were going to get fired?
No, I actually had my full calendar next 2 months. The good thing with 3MB, I was booked solid.
Sure.
We were on every single house show, every single tour. Even like they would send Slater to Red Loop, that was a Raw tour. Me and Drew would tag team. We wrestled the Matadors for like 6 months straight. Mm-hmm. Every single tour, every single house show. I had my calendar. And even like I didn't have my green card at the time. I had my work visa. And I spoke to the office about getting a green card. They're like, okay, we got this one trip to Canada coming. We got their way of doing it. You have to be landlocked for 3 months. You can't leave the States.
Hmm.
So they're like, okay, after this Canada tour, like in 3 weeks, we'll landlock you for 3 months. Okay. Next week released.
Wow.
But luckily I was still able to get my green card on my own.
Yeah. Did you, like, what happened when you got the call? Did you see that 203 number? And
yeah, I thought maybe, I was supposed to leave on a house show that Saturday. So it was Thursday, maybe. I thought maybe, oh, hey, you got to leave Friday, or hey, you're off the house show. And it was the unfortunate call, hey, creative. Has
how did you feel?
You know what's weird, man? At that time, I was so miserable. Like, I would pull up to Raw and just, like, oh, my God.
Scared to find out what you're going to be doing.
Exactly, because every week it was, like, 3MB was, it wasn't going, it was nothing going to be positive.
Yeah,
or fun.
It
was going to do something embarrassing. Or you know what I mean?
Losing a minute, I was just so
unmotivated, like, I don't know. I was just in a bad place.
So it was almost like relief when you got let go?
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, it still sucks because, you know, this is my dream. And
yeah.
This is all I ever wanted to do. But at the same time, there was a little bit like, oh, man, I don't have to go to TNA.
Then you
got to
start from scratch and you start all over again.
Yeah.
Because you didn't go to TNA or Ring of Honor. You were.
No. I was just on my own. I actually did. I wrestled in Japan. I went to Puerto Rico a bunch of times, Middle East, India. And where I lived in Texas, Texas was great at that time. I was living there, and there's so many promotions in Texas. I mean, there none of them are.
Sure, I got you. Yeah.
So I would never. I would be working indies in Texas and be sleeping in my own bed every night and like good money because it was not no competition there.
Was Drew let go at the same time you
were?
Yeah,
me and Drew same.
Because you said you're best friends.
Yeah, yeah, same time.
So
yeah.
When did you find out each other was released?
Like 2 minutes later, went online. Like that's when.
Oh yeah, there was a bunch of people.
Yeah, there. Called him. Like, yeah.
What did you guys think? Drew was very adamant. He did my show about a week later. He's like, "I'm going to be back," and he just got re-signed. I'm very happy for him. Very proud of him because his whole goal is, "I will be back."
Yeah.
And a lot of guys say that, and God bless them. Some of them don't make it back.
Yeah.
Did you guys have any conversation about that at all?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. No, Drew was very motivated. I wish I was that motivated too.
So
which I did, but just a little bit while like
a little bit later. Yeah.
A little bit later. Yeah.
So you were just kind of saying like, "Oh, whatever," you know.
Work the indies. I mean, I was having fun on the indies.
No
stress. But I was getting nowhere. I was just. But luckily, I did get into real estate, rehabbing homes, and all that, which is
funny because that's what Gama does too. He has all of his apartment blocks, right?
Yeah. Like looking back now, or in 5 years or 10 years, I'm gonna look back and be like, you know what? Getting released was the best thing that ever happened to me because A, I got into real estate. B, I kicked myself out and got remotivated. Like, man, to think if I was still in that slump as in 3MB to now, like, I'd be dead.
I
can't maintain that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mentally, you'd be so down and out.
Yeah.
For sure.
I don't know where I could. There's no way that I could do that, like, be that miserable, just living like that for that long.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost the best thing that happened to me. Like looking back at it now, yeah, it sucks. I probably lost a bunch of money.
but that's the thing too. Like I remember, like when I was the Undisputed Championship the first time, it's like I wasn't ready. Like I wasn't. I'm not going to say I wasn't good enough, but I wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And at the time, I was like, yeah, like I'm not this. You know, I was like angry at being the champion because the angle wasn't good, and I was kind of like a secondary thing behind Stephanie and Hunter. But looking back, it's like I just wasn't ready. You know, but had I not had that experience of being the champion once and knowing that I could have done better, when I got my chance and won it again, it was a long time later, maybe 3 years, 4 years later, no one was going to stop me.
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar to what you're saying right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like one of those things sometimes I think, like, man, if only I knew back then what I know now.
Right.
And I'm sure in 10 years I'm going to be thinking, oh, man, if only I knew.
And had you not been released, you might not know what you know now.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's exciting because, like we said, as we get ready to wind down here, I mean, you got this big match with Randy Orton.
Yep.
All from the positivity. I mean, what's your plan for this match? And what do
you? Man, my plan is up until then just gain some momentum and literally try and be hated as I can. I want to be like nowadays it's kind of it's like rare to be a real authentic
actual heel. Yeah,
an actual heel. So that's my goal. And
the ethnic thing always works too,
because
you can really come on strong with like the Indian influence and like you said, anti-American or whatever it may be.
Yeah, and I think I have a unique look. Like
it's a great look, man.
Yeah, like you were saying, you look like
if Indiana Jones in the Temple of Doom.
Yeah.
You know, you could be the lead heel. I see you pulling somebody's heart out like that. Yeah. You know, like
now that I'm in shape, you know, and now I'm also mature. Like when I debuted, I was 24, I was literally like a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And now when I like even when I used to watch wrestling when I was a kid, like younger guys, it's not like it's believable. You know, now I have life. I'm a little bit grizzled. I look grizzled. I have life experience.
You look
exactly, yeah.
Tougher too.
Exactly, yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Not weathered, but you just look.
Exactly. Like before, when I debuted, I was clean shaven,
nice hair.
I look like a baby face.
Yeah. Actually, I was going to ask this before I ask the final question. So, last week we were at a house show in Champaign, Illinois, and it's a random match of Jinder versus Big Show.
Yeah.
And you know how show is.
Yeah.
Love show. He's one of my best friends in the business. But for a Champaign show against Jinder, I was expecting punch, knockout, 1-2-3. But we're watching this match, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going, and it's going, and then culminating with this amazing spot. But tell me about that, and what was the idea behind it? It was Champaign.
Yeah, so the first night, I worked Curtis Axel in a singles match. And then the next night, the car, I think maybe you got added. The car shifted.
Yeah.
And it was Jinder versus Big Show. And so I go, hey, show, I think I talked to the producer, like, yeah, I have a regular match, this and that, show up. Yeah, no problem. So I go up to show, hey, show, me and you. Man, show is super, super cool with me. I love show. And he's like, you know what, man? We're going to tear it up tonight. We're doing everything. He's like, you're going to body slam me. No, he, at first he asked me, what's my finisher? It's the Cobra Clutch deal. I was like, I was like, really? I'm like, man, I don't think. I was like, no, bro. Like,
it's a Cobra Clutch where you put the...
Cobra Clutch into like a full Nelson slam.
Gotcha.
And then I was like, show, I can't do it on you. You're too big. Once I get, at first I was like, no, show, come on, man. You're a big show. Like, we don't need to do this. It's champagne. Yeah. He's like, no, bro. He's like, you're going to body slam me. What? Like, are you sure, man? Because, man, show's been wrestling for so long. I was a kid watching show.
Yeah.
So I know, like, all these years of wrestling have taken a toll on his body. He was very, very giving that match, man. And I know after that match.
It was a
match,
really good match.
And I know for sure after that match he was sore too. Like, I mean.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We did everything that match. It was a long match. And, man, he was just so cool and so giving. He's like, you know what, man? I see they want to do something with you. And, you know, I'm going to help you. And just being around, man, he has so much knowledge, like, of just calling spot. Because he's, like, seen everything. And
he knows exactly who his character is, too.
Yes.
What to do.
Very, very knowledgeable. I would say, man, Cho is probably the greatest big man of all time.
I agree.
He is excellent.
And also think also very underrated as well.
Yes.
So how do you body slam the Big Show?
I gave him the big boot. He bounced off the ropes, hit him with a big slam.
It was great. Yeah, mostly him doing it? Because you have to guide him, though.
Yeah, I have to guide him. Yeah.
He must be a strong dude, man.
Yeah, no. I mean, Show's such a good worker. You can go up.
But see, you know, the thing that's interesting is this is also before you win that six-pack challenge and the number one contender. If it happened this week,
yeah, that would make sense.
But he saw that they want to do something with you. I hadn't seen it yet. I just saw you getting in great shape and having this wicked look. I knew it would eventually come.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I was like, how did you know they want to do something with it? Because I could just tell. I mean, you know, I just knew it. And 2 days later, he was right.
Show has a lot of knowledge, man. He's like, they're trying to break you away from the pack. Like, you know, I'm at the level where a bunch of the undercard guys are. You know, I'm trying to break away from the pack. He's like, you know what? They're trying to separate you. He's like, we're going to do this match. Man, he was so cool. He was super, super giving.
I guarantee.
He did not need to do all that.
No.
No, not at all. He could have been anything.
Even if you were in Madison Square Garden, he didn't need to do that. But like we were saying, just in Champaign, Illinois, the most random of places, if you were there that night, guys, you saw something special.
Yeah, man.
Big Show doesn't get slammed every night.
Yeah, no, Big Show came to play that night.
Yeah. I bet you The Office heard about that, too. I bet you Hunter or Vince found, Big Show let him slam him. And that
was
a feather in your cap as well. And that's what Show told me after. That's why he did it.
He wanted it to get around. Big thank you to Big Show, man. Very appreciated. For him a lot, like giving me so much offense in that match and being so giving and being so cool and just passing down knowledge even like in the locker room all the time, like he's always talking to like the younger guys and and whatnot, man. Show's awesome. Like it's one of the, after like your guys' generation of wrestlers, it's weird, like I don't know if there'll be another, like will there ever be another Big Show?
I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I always say about rock and roll bands. Like, could there ever be another Metallica or Stones or Van Halen? Because people have seen so much and bands get into it differently.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know, guys who've traveled the world for years to finally get here, that's rare and rare and rare, especially a big man like him.
Yeah.
You know? So, last question for you. What's your favorite match that you've ever had?
I have two favorite matches for two totally different reasons.
Okay, cool.
Match number one is against Seth Rollins for that title.
Uh-huh.
We had given like three segments, a lot of time, and it was like a good showcase for me. Like, because a lot of people would see me on TV in these short matches and like
think you couldn't work or whatever.
Exactly. So, you know, that was a long match. But at that time, NXT wasn't that mainstream, so that many people didn't see it. It's on some DVDs now, and I'm sure it's on YouTube. Our network is on the network for $9.99. And my second favorite match is the WLC match.
WLC?
Yeah, El Torito and
Hornswoggle. Were you out in that?
Oh, yeah. Man, so they moved us to the pre-show, and we were like, you know what, man? We're going to literally kill ourselves in this match.
And what were you doing in it?
Just like interfering and whatnot. And then like...
Were you on Hornswoggle's team?
Yeah, Hornswoggle's
team. That's right.
Yeah. So
I remember that.
Yeah, like I took the big bump off like the ladder onto two tables, and Slater took a bump. Drew ran and did a dive off the thing, and Matadors.
The Matadors are out there too.
Yeah, and just the crowd, like I don't think the crowd was expecting. And we came back standing ovation and Gorilla.
Definitely Hornswoggle's best match. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was unreal.
WLC. I forgot you guys were involved in that.
Yeah. So those are my I guess it wasn't my match. But
still, you were involved in.
Yeah. Well, it was such a fun match, man.
I remember like being really pleasantly happy for them, but being surprised. Like, wow, they
and
really rocked it.
The crowd, oh, man, like this is awesome. Yeah.
It's a great feeling when you get that.
Yeah.
Well, you got a big one coming up against Randy Orton, man, number one contender. And like I said, you deserve it. I'm happy for you and proud of you, man.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you for
positive.
Coming to the show. Yeah, stay positivity.
You stay positive. You get to be a number one contender, and you get to be on Talk Is Jericho.
There you go.
What more do you want?
Yeah, exactly.
How do you say goodbye in Punjabi?
Sat Sri Akal.
Say again?
Sat Sri Akal.
Sat Sri Akal. All right, man.
Hey, kids! Do you love the intense but focused and emotional work of renowned character actor Paul Giamatti?
Yeah!
Well, now you can take him anywhere with new Giamatti trading cards from Upper Deck. It's a slew of Giamattis in all of your favorite roles.
I got Tom Duffy from Ides of March.
I got Freeman from 12 Years a Slave. In your face!
All your favorite Giamatti characters are here. Shorty, Mr. X, Cleveland Heap, even Ben Bernanke.
I got Man in Sleeping Bag from NYPD Blue.
But it's not just his roles. These cards also feature Giamatti as you've never seen him. Oops, I've spilled something.
Nice!
Man about town. You call this an antique?
Whoa!
These eggs aren't over easy.
I got taking a steam bath?
With 180 cards to collect, you'll have to trade with your friends. One lucky collector will get a gold hologram card of Mr. Giamatti as Chuck Rhodes from the show Billions.
Not nice.
Get your free pack today by downloading and listening to the Team Tiger Awesome show every Sunday right here on the Jericho Network and Podcast One.
All right, leave it to Team Tiger Awesome to come up with Paul Giamatti trading cards. Yeah, it was the one that he played in the Howard Stern, Big Face or something like that, Big Dick or something. A special gold trading card, though, for his character in the TV show Billions. This is the stuff you get every week when you listen to the Team Tiger Awesome show. New episodes every Sunday. I still love the creative band that I did with them a few weeks ago. With my band was Eggs, who was a East German techno metal band. And, of course, the Super Summer Movie Preview we did last week. You got to check that out. It's super funny, man. Really funny stuff. New episodes of Team Tiger Awesome every Sunday. Go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe to the Team Tiger Awesome show so you don't miss out on any of the laughs. And, hey, while you're at Apple Podcasts, leaving Team Tiger Awesome a 5-star rating, a stellar review, go ahead and do the same for all the shows in the Jericho Network. Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. His latest episode has a new interview with Bruce Kulick talking about the 25th anniversary of the review. Revenge album, which is very timely because I got Paul Stanley doing the same thing, talking about Revenge on Friday, the 25th anniversary Revenge on Talk Is Jericho. But Mitch has Bruce Kulick. He's also got Scott Gorham telling the story of Thin Lizzy. It's a super special, huge, huge episode with Rock Talk with Mitch LaFon. Kiss fans, Thin Lizzy fans, go check it out. Go to Apple Podcasts, 5-star rating review. Raven continues on the Raven Effect to dissect his wrestling career, his highs, his lows, the good times, the bad times. If you haven't checked out the Raven Effect yet, go check it out now. He's so well spoken, and his stories of being in the wrestling business, he's seen and done it all, from Florida Championship Wrestling, Portland, Vancouver, ECW, WCW, WWE. He used to work as a writer. He used to be an announcer. He used to be on the writing team with Vince and Shane McMahon. Lots of interesting stories from the Raven Effect. And, of course, Killing the Town with Storm and Cyrus. This week they're talking about old school versus new school, Rip Rogers versus Will Ospreay, Randy Orton versus Bubba Dudley. Lots of old school versus new school feuds brewing. Storm and Cyrus are talking about all of them. Then Keeping It 100 with Conan on Thursdays at the flagship show, drawn in huge numbers every week. They've just got great guests, great conversation. Conan is a master at this. And of course, Beyond the Darkness, talking all things paranormal every Monday through Friday. Raven was actually a guest. Raven is a huge conspiracy fan and ghost paranormal fan. Every time he has Billy Corgan on the Raven Effect, they talk about that. So he's on Beyond the Darkness this week. Check that out. And if you haven't checked out the latest podcast from Beyond the Darkness, get to Patreon and sign up. They're doing True Crime Tuesdays, and they're doing it ad-free. No commercials. Just $5 a month at Patreon.com. Go sign up and enjoy new episodes of True Crime Tuesday every week. It is worth every penny. It's also worth every penny to come see Fozzy. The Judas Rising tour going in full force, having some great shows. King and Sons of Texas are with us. King is doing the bus share with us. That means they ride with us on the bus. Tremendous guys, and what a great band. Don't miss out. You can still get some tickets at FozzyRock.com. You can get the VIP tickets too, where we give you a little mini concert. We've been playing a lot of fun covers. Metal Health, I Love Rock and Roll, TNT Really Got Me, playing Judas, playing Requests. So come get a one-on-one intimate experience with Fozzy. Go to FozzyRock.com. You can get your tickets for the Chameleon Club in Lancaster tonight. You're doing 89 North and Pachog on Thursday. Come on down, Pachog. That show is not selling as well as it should be. So if you're thinking about coming to see Fozzy, come on down and see us in Long Island. 19th House Independence in Asbury Park. That one's doing great. Blue Fox in Winchester sold out. 21st at the main stage in Morgantown, West Virginia.
get off your butts and come check us out. What else is there to do in Morgantown on a Sunday night? I know what there's to do. Come see Fozzy. 23rd, Machine Shop in Flint. That's going to be a great show. The Forge in Joliet. I think the boys from Pot of Thunder are going to come check that out if you're a Kiss fan. Foo Bar in St. Louis on the 25th. And then we end off this leg of the tour with three huge festivals all in the Texas area. Rocklahoma in Oklahoma on the 26th, River City Rock Fest in San Antonio, and then, of course, BFD on the 28th. Then we head across the pond to Download Main Stage with Aerosmith June 11th. I'm hosting the Metal Hammer Golden God Awards on June 12th. The 13th, we sold out the Crawford Arms in Milton Keynes. 14th, a super special secret gig, okay? Also doing a couple spoken word shows in Ireland, The Words of Jericho. Listen in, man. June 7th date in Belfast at Mandela Hall is already sold out, but there's still a couple of general admission tickets left to the Dublin show June 8th in Vicar Street. You can get those at Ticketmaster.ie. Also doing a Words of Jericho show in my hometown of Winnipeg with special guests Lance Storm and Cyrus. August 25th at the Club Regent Event Center. Tickets available at Ticketmaster. VIPs, come on down. Come and listen to some funny stories and come meet me. And one last shout out to all the great Talk is Jericho sponsors. You find them all at podcastone.com. Just click on the Killer Deals button at the top of the page. Then hit the Talk is Jericho button. Thanks to ddpyoga.com/Jericho. 20% off all DDP Yoga app and DDP Yoga Y merch. Go check that out. Get in the best physical and mental shape of your life. NatureBox. Sign up at naturebox.com/Jericho. Get 50% off your first order and they'll deliver it right to your front door. Of course, Geico. We're talking about Little Caesars. So many great people and companies. Keep listening for the 60-second AP News headlines coming up next. And keep listening for Friday. Paul Stanley returns for his third appearance on Talk is Jericho to talk the 25th anniversary of my favorite Kiss studio album, Revenge. Paul is great. We got great chemistry. Amazing stories about one of the watermarks in Kiss's storied career. Paul Stanley's Revenge this Friday. We'll see you then. But in the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs, and a big yeah, boy! And good luck to Jinder Mahal. I hope he kicks Randy Orton's rear end and beats him this Sunday at Backlash. Go Jinder! Go Calgary! Go Paul Stanley! We'll see you on Friday.
I'll give it all I got. You give it all you got. Woo, woo, woo! Good. Check this out.
You can download new episodes of Talk is Jericho every Wednesday and Friday at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.